I'll be coming from a very familiar passage of scripture, and it's the story of David and Goliath, but the Lord, he really dealt with me and put emphasis on the events that led up to the battle between David and Goliath. So that's what we'll focus on today. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 37 through 39. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 37 through 39. And we have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads as thus: Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you.
Yes.
Go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail, and David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.
That's right.
So David took them off. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, God. I thank you for this opportunity, God. I pray right now that you will just sweep through this place, God.
Yes, God.
I thank you for the move of God that has already taken place.
Yes.
I thank you for this message that you have given me. And I pray that it is able to transform lives, God. I pray that you just give me pace and give me delivery so that the people will understand clearly what you have spoken to me before the people. I love you, God, and I pray that you will get all the glory that's due unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm so grateful for today. Truly grateful for what God is doing in this season. For the unbeliever, God wants to completely transform your life.
Amen.
Yeah, he wants to take you to a new place in him. He wants you to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but there's some baggage that you're holding on to that's preventing you from fully giving your life over to Jesus. And to the believer, God wants to take us to a new level, but sometimes we have baggage that is holding us back from achieving the results that God desires for our lives. So in other words, God has these unique blessings or uncommon blessings that are tailor-made just for us, but sometimes we have some things that are holding us back from obtaining those blessings.
Yes.
So the question that I want to ask you today is, are we truly prepared to receive and handle the uncommon blessings that God has planned for us?
All right.
And in fact, if I had to place a topic on this message today, it would be equipped to handle the uncommon blessings from God. Equipped to handle the uncommon blessings from God. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you equipped,
to handle
the uncommon blessings?
The uncommon blessings.
Ask them again, are you equipped,
to handle
the uncommon blessings?
The uncommon blessings.
Yes, and my subtopic for this particular message today is get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the baggage. Turn to your neighbor and say, get rid of the baggage. So before we get too far ahead, we need to establish a few things so that we're all on the same playing ground. So the first thing that we need to establish is the difference between a common blessing and an uncommon blessing. Right? So a common blessing is a blessing that many people can attest to. In fact, if you're here today, you can attest to the fact that God woke you up this morning. Right? That's a common blessing. Now, common doesn't mean it's insignificant. It simply means many individuals can relate to it. Now, an uncommon blessing is a blessing that is uniquely fit for you, and only you have that particular blessing.
Yes.
Just like David when he slayed Goliath.
Yes.
An uncommon blessing refers to a blessing that's rare or unique that is bestowed upon an individual or a group that goes beyond the common or widely experienced blessings.
Yes.
Right? These blessings stand out because they are not commonly encountered.
Yes.
That's right.
All right, so we've established that. The next thing that we need to establish is defining what baggage is. What is baggage? What is baggage? And there's two definitions that I want to give you today. And the first is personal belongings or possessions that someone carries with them during travel.
Uh-huh.
Right. This can include luggage, suitcases, bags, or other items containing clothes, toiletries, gadgets, or other necessities for the journey. Uh-huh. They are carefully prepared items to be used at one's destination. Okay? And the second definition of baggage is past experience or long-held ideas regarded as burdens.
Mm-hmm.
Unresolved issues, negative feelings, or limiting beliefs. Right? All right, so we've established that, and I think we're on the same page there. So now we can jump into the text so that we can quickly go to where we want to focus on today. So let me just give you a quick background, and I want to give you the cliff notes of this, or as we possibly say, straight to the point, on how we even got to verse 38. How did David even find himself in this situation in the first place?
Uh-huh.
Right, so in 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 through 11, we see that the stage is being set between Israel and the Philistines, the battle between Israel and the Philistines.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It begins to set the stage for the battle between David and Goliath.
Yes.
And setting the scene for David and Goliath. And in the scene, Goliath is challenging Israel to a one-on-one battle to the death with the warrior of their choice.
That's right.
Goliath proposes a wager, and the wager is if Goliath wins, Israel will become the servants of the Philistines.
And
if the warrior from Israel would win, then the Philistines would become their servants.
Yes.
Right? So we go a little further through at verses 12 through 27, we see that 40 days have gone by and David is sent by his father to supply food to his brother on the front lines. And this is where things begin to get interesting. Right, this is when it begins to get really interesting. So David hears Goliath making this wager, and it intrigues David.
Yeah.
Right, it piques his interest. Uh-huh. It piques his interest. So much so that David begins to ask around, and he's asking the soldiers, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine?
Yeah.
What's the reward that Saul has for the man that will kill this Philistine?
Uh-huh.
And David goes on to learn that the reward that Saul has proposed would be wealth, mm-hmm. marriage to his daughter, and the champion and his family would be tax-free.
Yes.
Right? So that's wealth, right. marriage to his daughter, and his family and the champion would be tax-free.
Yes.
Tax-free. Right? So David was like, okay, all right, bet. I got you. That sounds pretty good. Bet. All right? So David told Saul, he was like, look, tell everybody to chill out. I got it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm stepping to the plate.
Yeah.
I like what you're talking, Saul, so I'm going to step to the plate. I got it. Tell him to relax. And Saul was like, hold on, little fella. Relax now. Look. You gotta relax. You gotta chill out. Now, listen, I love how you play the string instruments for me, and I love how you're my armor bearer, but you don't have any business stepping to face this giant. That's a grown man. You're just a little boy. You're a little boy, so I don't know if I want to put my freedom in your hands because our freedom is on the line. Our freedom is on the line. I don't know if I can trust you with my freedom. And David gave Saul a quick check about some encounters he had. He said, hold on, Saul. Like, yeah, I know I'm your armor bearer, but you really don't know me the way you think you know me, right? I've got some receipts, as the young folks would say. I got receipts in the game. I got some receipts. I've encountered a lion, and I've encountered a bear, and you see I'm still here to tell my testimony. I slayed both of those animals, and I'm still here to tell my testimony. So the Lord is with me. I got receipts. So trust me, I got it.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, all right, okay. Look, what other choice do we have? Nobody else is coming to the place, so we really don't have a choice. So now we're finally here at verse 38, and that's where we want to focus. And we see, again, that Saul has finally agreed to let David face Goliath. And Saul began to clothe David in his armor. He began to clothe him with his armor. And this leads me to the first point that I want to extract from this text today. And remember, we're talking about baggage. We're talking about baggage. Look to your neighbor and say, baggage.
Baggage.
Baggage. We're talking about baggage. And the first point is, And I want you to write this down. Things given with good intentions don't disqualify them from being baggage. Right? Things given with good intentions don't disqualify them from being baggage. All right? Now, of course, we know that there are things that we can quickly identify as being baggage. And we know those things will hold us back from reaching our destiny, such as being connected to someone who smokes all day, being connected to someone who drinks all day, being connected to someone who does not want to do the will of God. Those are the obvious things that we can point to and say, hey, that's baggage. I really shouldn't be connected to that. I really shouldn't have that as part of my life. But how about the things that appear to be good for us and have been given with good intentions? They've been given with good intentions, like that advice that's been passed down from generation to generation. And Big Mama gave it to your mom, and your mom gave it to you, and it was advice given with good intentions because they knew, or that's all they knew at the time. But you know it goes against the word of God.
Come on.
That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. Apostle tells us all the time that good intentions don't mean they align with the word of God.
That's right.
Good intentions don't mean they align with the word of God. Or maybe it's that mindset or those ideologies about men or women that were passed down from a place of hurt that's hindering you from marriage or a productive marriage.
Right?
That was given with a dirty lens and from a dirty perspective. It's
that's
baggage.
Right. That's right.
It's baggage. Look, we see here in the text that Saul was giving David his armor with good intentions.
That's right.
Saul was the king. Saul was the king at this time. What king do you know wants to willingly become a servant of his enemy?
That's right.
I don't know anyone that will willingly want to become a servant of his enemy. So Saul had good intentions. He had good intentions. He was trying to equip David for battle, but he didn't know that he was equipping him with baggage.
Yes, right.
Yeah, he was equipping him with baggage. Actually, I want to show you just a visual representation. Brother Rudy, could you stand with me for a minute? Hey, how tall are you?
6'4".
6'4". 6'4". And upon my research, I saw that Saul was believed to be above 6 feet. And at the time, David was believed to be about 5 feet. So can you just turn your back to me? So I want you to get this image vividly in your head. Saul was trying to equip David with his armor. That shows you how desperate Saul was. He was desperate. He was trying to equip David with this baggage. Can you imagine Brother Reed trying to equip me with his shirt? I'm trying to prepare the word. I'm trying to get ready for the word. And he's like, okay, I got you, man. I got you something fresh to wear.
Right.
And he shows up with his shirt.
All right.
With his shirt. Right. He's equipping me with baggage. Thank you, Brother Reed. He's equipping me with baggage. He's equipping me with baggage. So you can vividly see that he's equipping David with baggage. And what Saul didn't know is that he was equipping him something with something that could cost David his life.
Yes.
Something that could cost him his life. And that leads me to my second point, and it really goes hand in hand with the first. And that is, sometimes baggage comes camouflaged as armor.
Yeah.
Sometimes baggage comes camouflaged as armor. It comes camouflaged as armor. Turn to your neighbor and say, camouflage.
Camouflage.
Say, camouflage.
Camouflage.
Yeah. It comes wrapped in a way that's appealing to you and appears to be beneficial to you and fits within the norms of society. Right? It appears normal on the surface, but when you dig a little deeper and when you begin to peel back the layers, you find that it's baggage.
That's right.
Now, again, sometimes it's evident when something is holding you back from doing the things that God has called you to do. But sometimes, the enemy will disguise baggage as armor.
Mm-hmm.
He will disguise baggage as armor. You don't believe me, so let's look at this. It could be that solid relationship that you're in right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Y'all don't argue, he or she spoils you. But y'all don't pray together.
Exactly.
It's not a relationship that's pushing you closer to God. You may need to reevaluate because there could be baggage disguised as honor. Or could it be that new car that you called a blessing from God? Because you're struggling to make payments and you thought you heard from God, but you may need to reevaluate because there could be baggage disguised as armor. What about the house that you called a blessing and that you're struggling with? Again, you may need to reevaluate because that could be baggage disguised as armor, and it could be stopping you from achieving the blessings that God has in store for you. It looks good to you, but it's hindering you from the uncommon blessings of God. It looks good to you, but it's hindering you from the uncommon blessings of God. This is how some people look, carrying around baggage that's disguised as armor, right? It appears normal on the surface, right? It appears normal, but it may be something that's holding you back from achieving the things that God has in store for you. It looks appealing. It looks good. It looks normal on the surface. It looks normal on the surface, but when you dig a little deeper and when you begin to really pray and seek the face of God, and when you begin to seek godly counsel, and when you begin to discern what's for you and what's not for you, you see that it's really dead weight. It's really dead weight that's been holding you back from the things of God. Dead weight. Something that you thought was for you, but it's holding you back from the things of God. Dead weight keeping you from the things of God. It's time to release that dead weight that's been in your life. Give it over to Jesus. Leave it there. It could be something that cost you your life.
Yes.
Just like David.
Yeah.
That armor could have cost David his life. If you can't move in a battle, look, the Bible says that David was unable to move. He couldn't walk. If you can't walk in a battle, you can't fight. And if you can't fight, you die. Just that simple. You die. You die. So this baggage that's disguised as armor could be holding you back from the things of God, and it could in fact cost you your life. It could cost you the opportunity and rob you of the opportunity to be living a blessed life in Jesus Christ. So get rid of the baggage.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of the baggage. And the next thing that I want to point out is that the uncommon blessing is on the other side of getting rid of the baggage.
That's right.
The uncommon blessing is on the other side of getting rid of the baggage. And that's not it, right? Of course, you have to get rid of it. But also, it's critical that you don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. When you take it off, leave it where it is. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. We see in the text that David had took this armor off. And he didn't pick it back up. What did he do? He picked up his stones and he picked up his staff. He picked up something that God had already blessed him to use.
Right,
so when you take it off, don't pick it back up. Don't pick it back up. But a question that you may be asking today is, how do I get rid of this baggage? How do I even get rid of it? I've been carrying it for so long. I've gotten so comfortable. It's become so convenient to me. How do I get rid of this baggage?
Uh-huh.
And it's simple, right? It's simple. All you have to do is release it. Right? Release it, give it over to Jesus fully and completely.
Yes, sir.
Don't pick it back up.
Yes, sir.
Like, seek God's face so that you're able to discern what's for you and what's not for you. Get godly counsel. Read the word. Seek God's face.
Yes.
Seek God's face so that you can really know, is this situation for me? Is that advice for me? Does it apply to my life? Are these people that's connected to me for me? Or are they baggage disguised as armor?
Yes.
Are they baggage disguised as armor? Because I'm telling you, this isn't the season to be playing around with dead weight.
Right.
This is not the season. We're too close to the finish line. This is not the season to play around with dead weight. It's not the season to play around with dead weight. So you have to let it go so that you can get the uncommon blessings that God has called for you, has ordained for you, has laid up for you. You have to get rid of it so that you can obtain these uncommon blessings, so that you can live a blessed life, so that you can walk in all the things that God has in store for you.
Amen.
So I ask you again, are you equipped to handle the uncommon blessings from God? Or do you still have some baggage that you're carrying around that you need to get rid of? Right? Are you equipped to handle, to truly handle what God has in store for you? Or have you gotten so used to this armor? Right? Is it a part of your wardrobe now that you don't even recognize it as being baggage? Are you truly equipped to handle the uncommon blessings from God? And this is the answer. If the answer is no, I have one last question for you. And that is, if the answer is no, are you ready to get rid of your baggage? Amen.
Amen.